We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest, who come with troubles that are too much with you, who come hurt and afraid. We bid you welcome, who come with hope in your heart, who come with anticipation in your step, who come proud and joyous. We bid you welcome, who are seeker of a new faith, who come to probe and explore, who come to learn. We bid you welcome, who enter this hall as a homecoming, who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this people a family. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whyever you are here, we bid you welcome. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. Particular greetings this morning to those in the nursery and in the vestry. Good morning, everybody in the vestry. Our elevator is out of order, which means we have a viewing party, a participating party in the vestry, and those people can have their coffee. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life in this community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, and Sunday school after the word for all ages. A few important things coming up over the next week or so. We've got Lunch Bunch this Thursday at 12:30 in the vestry, an opportunity to gather for food and community. We have the West Virginia Work Camp fundraiser dinner this Saturday, but you have to order by Wednesday. When do you have to order by?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. And what happens if you order on Friday? Pastors cry. So order by Wednesday so you can get your delicious dinner on Saturday. There are scholarship applications truly coming out this week. We lied. They didn't come up last week. Next one, Gail. I think it should be on the next one. So this slide, I think, says that the application is in the link. It's not, but I promise this week it will come out for those who are looking at higher education in the fall. And this one doesn't have a slide, but next Sunday, Walnut Hill is having a concert right here in the sanctuary at 8 o'clock. That's next Sunday, 8 o'clock, right here, and it is free. If you went to their concert last fall, it was just awesome. Another choral concert next Sunday. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. I'm Karen. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "Let's choose the path of love." Wherever we go, let's choose the path of love. No matter who we travel with, let's choose the path of love. Even when we're lost, let's choose the path of love. As we gather for worship this morning, let's choose the path of love. Our opening hymn is "Be Thou My Vision." You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Ooh.
Please be seated. Our centering prayer this morning is based on words by Judith Quarles. We begin with a little bit of quiet, a chance to pause in the midst of life's busyness and see where we are on the journey. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we feel you moving among us here. Bless us with your presence. For we are in need of strength and courage. Our road is filled with rocks, with boulders strewn, boulders so high we sometimes wonder whether we can climb them. We are in need of comfort and encouragement. We long for a cooling hand upon the forehead, your still voice whispering in our hearts, "It's all right now." We are in need of urging on. When we see what needs to be done, we hear your voice shouting at us to get moving. In this peaceful moment, help us recognize the spirit of encouragement, comfort, and love within ourselves, within this congregation, as we were shown by the one who taught us to pray, saying, "O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, focus your light within us, make it useful. Create your reign of unity now, your one desire then acts with ours, as in all light, so in all forms. Grant what we need each day in bread and insight. Loose the cords of mistakes binding us as we release the strands we hold of others' guilt. Don't let surface things delude us, but free us from what holds us back. From you is born all ruling will, the power and the life to do, the song that beautifies all. From age to age, it renews. Truly, power to these statements. May they be the ground from which all my actions grow. Amen." Peace be with you all. These are the first public words spoken by Pope Leo XIV, echoing the words Jesus himself said to his disciples in the Gospel of John when they were grieving and afraid. Those words are not just an offhand greeting. They are a prayer, a blessing, a promise. May they come true in our midst today as we echo them to each other. God's peace be with you. Thank you.
Our scripture reading today is actually from last Sunday's lectionary. It is the story of Saul's conversion in the book of Acts. It's a long story, too long to fit into a communion service, which is what last Sunday was, so I bumped it to today. This story only shows up once every 3 years in the lectionary, and the spring is always a hectic time in the life of the church, so you might not even hear it every 3 years, and yet it might be familiar. A little context. So, you remember Jesus was killed by the Roman Empire, and then his followers somehow experienced him again after his death. Jesus left them again, but they continued to spread Jesus' message about God's love. And their belief that Jesus would return in the near future to bring God's kingdom, God's realm of justice and peace to earth. As new people joined up and the group of Jesus' followers grew, it became known as the Way and was understood as a group within Judaism, not a whole new religion. But that led to tension between the religious and political leaders of Judaism, and they outlawed the Way. Scholars debate the reason for all this tension, but a likely one is that the oppression from Rome led to Jewish leaders thinking they needed unity among their people. No matter what the reason, followers of the Way who refused to renounce those beliefs could be imprisoned, physically punished, and even put to death. Enter this guy named Saul, who was from Tarsus, and since there were only four names for people back then, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen and a Jewish leader who got really into persecuting followers of the Way. By the way, Saul was his Hebrew name. His Roman name from his father was Paul. He supported the execution of one of Jesus' close disciples and then participated in raids, dragging people out of their homes and sending them off to prison. Karen and I will tell you what happens next.
Hear these words from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the Way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem.
So Saul is heading off to the city of Damascus, full of righteous anger, hoping to find more followers of the Way to throw into prison. He has permission from the religious authorities, proof that he can show to the religious authorities in Damascus, essentially the equivalent of a judicial warrant in the hands of ICE these days. But that's when things get interesting.
Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one.
So Saul and his lackeys are walking on the dirt road that leads into Damascus when they see this light that is so shocking that it knocks Saul to the ground. And they hear this voice asking why Saul is persecuting the voice. And Saul, as if he's persecuting lots of different sorts of folks, wants to know which one is addressing him from the light. The voice tells Saul that it's Jesus. By persecuting Jesus' followers, Saul was persecuting Jesus, because Jesus and his followers were all one body, the church, united by God's Spirit.
Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank.
For 3 days. That number is not a coincidence. It mirrors the 3 days between Jesus' death and reappearance. 3 days of darkness without food or drink. Like Saul is in his own time of transformation. And then here comes a new character into the story.
Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. Jesus said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" He answered, Here I am, Lord.
So notice, Jesus calls Ananias' name, just like he called Saul's, but the response is different. Not, who is this, but here I am.
Jesus said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas,
not that Judas,
look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.
So remember, Ananias is a follower of the way, and Saul has that judicial warrant. This is a dangerous mission.
But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name. But Jesus said to him, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.
There's some foreshadowing going on right there. How much he must suffer does not sound good.
So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
So Ananias is a freaking hero. He goes right up to this violent agent, lays his hands on him, and calls him brother.
And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and his sight was restored.
It's like Saul's prejudices and blinders became solid, which actually seems kind of gross.
Then Saul got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength.
That's it. Saul is now done persecuting followers of the way, and now he's one of them.
For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, he is the Son of God.
Not only is Saul now part of the way, he's turned into Jesus' biggest recruiter. He'll end up focusing on teaching Gentiles about the way, so he'll use his Roman name, Paul.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. Thank you. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Our scripture reading this morning talks about people going through hard things and being pretty stressed out. Almost more than 2,000 years later, people are still going through hard things and are definitely still getting stressed out. Then and now, we can't fix everything. But we know we can sometimes make things just a little bit better. The outreach team at FCC Natick spends a lot of time thinking about how we can make things just a little bit better. That's why they collect pasta for a place to turn and give money to Family Promise and share information about Guatemala. They look for ways to bring just a little more peace and comfort to the world. And they want to give all of us a chance to join them. So today we are having a reverse offering. Usually during the offering, we pass offering plates up and down the rows and people put money in them to support the ministry of the church, and we will still do that later. But today we're going to pass the offering plates and invite everybody to take money out of them. The plates are full of envelopes and each envelope has $5 in it. The outreach team is giving everybody $5. Over the next few weeks, we're asking everybody to do something with that $5 that will bring a little more peace and comfort to the world. The kids are already handing out the envelopes. Thank you, beautiful children. Super helpful. Folks at home, we want you to join us too. Contact the church office and we'll get you an envelope while supplies last, or you can use your own $5. Everybody in the vestry, Lane should be handing out envelopes to you. If he's not, just nudge him and tell him it's time to pass out the envelopes. Then we want everyone to share how they use the $5 so that we can talk about it in worship on June 8th. There are leaves in each envelope, You're invited to write how you use your $5 on your leaf and bring it back with you to worship, where we will have a tree to add it to. You can also just send a message to me via email or mail a note to the church. We'll make a leaf for you and make sure it's included. So let's brainstorm a few things while the envelopes are being handed out. What are some things we might be able to do with our $5? Buy pasta. Buy more pasta for a place to turn. Heather, give it to a store clerk, and maybe maybe as a thank you. And I was also thinking you could give it to a store clerk and say the next time somebody doesn't have enough money to pay for their groceries, use this $5. How about that? Emily? You could donate it to the MS Walk that your family is doing next Saturday, I think it is, in honor of your dad. That's a great idea. Any other, one more idea? Taylor. You could buy a meal for a shelter dog. Do you know a place we can do that? So through Buddy Dog Humane Society in Sudbury, you could buy a meal for a shelter dog. I love that. All right, my kids, you might want to give your envelopes to your parents as you get ready to head to Sunday school. Wait, Carolyn, did you not get an envelope? Is that what that is? Is there anybody else who didn't get an envelope? Wave your hands if you didn't get an envelope. And we, at least Kirsten and Jeanette, if our kids aren't here, will be willing to get you an envelope. We will make sure you all get envelopes. And as our kids get ready for Sunday school, let's use our blessing hands to bless all these envelopes with the possibilities they hold inside. God of peace and comfort, fill us with the sense of possibility and abundance. So each $5 bill going out into the world will be a seed of love, of justice, of transformation. In the same way, God, may each of us be a source of peace and comfort in the world until all is you created it to be. Amen. Have a great day in Sunday school. Our second reading this morning is called Another Direction by Reverend Sandra Fees. Hear these words. The moment comes when a choice arises, a holy moment. A decision must be made. Do I remain as I am, or do I risk inching, leaping, flowing in another direction? Do I risk what I think I already know and already am? Do I forfeit my security for the possibility that a simple shift may alter the course of my life, even perhaps the life of another? I long to let go of all that restrains me so that I might pursue the impossible and surmount the insurmountable. To let go of anger, to let go of the need to be in control, to forgive a friend, to forgive myself, to refuse what thwarts my spirit, to refuse what limits my mind, to surrender to what will come, to surrender to this holy moment I have let slip away for too long. Amen. Lots of nights I leave the church after a night meeting, and nobody else is around. I don't mind. There's lots of lights and people finishing up dinner at Agostino's. My biggest worry is that I'll be walking across the parking lot and suddenly a bright light will shine down on me and a disembodied voice will say, Cindy! Now that would terrify me on multiple levels. Is it someone hiding in the bushes with a big spotlight? Am I losing it? Or is Jesus talking to me? If it's Jesus talking to me, There are more things for me to worry about. In this scenario, am I Saul or Ananias? That is Jesus yelling at me because he saw what a jerk I was during the day, like when Jesus wanted Saul to stop persecuting already? Or is Jesus calling to me because he's going to ask me to do something I definitely don't want to do, like Ananias forced to have a pastoral visit with someone he was pretty sure wanted to kill him? It could go either way, that voice in the parking lot. Because I think all of us have a little bit of Saul in us. I am quite certain that if I met Saul of Tarsus, we would not get along. First of all, he wrote a bunch of stuff I don't agree with, which has fostered oppression within the Christian tradition, like women should be quiet in church and under the authority of their husbands. I also think he was probably just a lot. When he didn't like the followers of Jesus, he was their most famous persecutor, leading the arrests and deaths of countless people. Then when he decided to follow Jesus, he became the biggest champion of the way, trying to get everybody else on board too. He's just always so sure that whatever he thinks is the absolute truth. And I've noticed that same trend in myself from time to time. Anybody else? Have you ever been sure that the woman in the MAGA hat is racist? That the person who cut you off in traffic did it on purpose? That the person speaking Spanish doesn't understand English? Jesus could meet me just about every night in the parking lot to correct the assumptions I've made that day, transform my way of thinking the way he did with Saul. But maybe that would be better than Jesus meeting me with an assignment the way he did with Ananias. I'd really like to think I have some of Ananias's bravery and conviction, that I'd go where Jesus sent me, even if it was dangerous or just scary or uncomfortable. But I really don't want Jesus sending me to talk to the people waving the Israeli flag on Main Street about the children starving in Gaza, or reach out to the members of the Parental Rights Network, to challenge their views on sexual orientation identification. After all, Ananias himself is eventually killed because he won't stop talking about Jesus, even though it wasn't by Saul. The truth is, I'm probably less like Saul or Ananias and more like one of the unnamed people in the passage, the men traveling with Saul on the road to Damascus. Most likely, they were also persecuting followers of the way, helping Saul track down and arrest people, maybe studying his interrogation techniques. Scripture doesn't tell us what happened to them after the show on the road to Damascus. Did they go back to persecuting Jesus' followers, maybe even arresting their old buddy Saul at some point? Or were they also changed by the voice and the light, ready to follow the way? Whatever happened to those men in particular, there are so many more like them. Those of us who aren't leading the oppression, but just following orders. Those who don't start the violence, but stand by while it happens. Those who don't make the unjust laws, but take the job carrying them out. You don't have to be the government official writing executive orders taking away legal protections for immigrants. You don't even have to be the ICE agent who doesn't have the right warrant pushing young women into unmarked vans. You can just be the local police officer who arrests the US citizens trying to stop people from being disappeared. We don't have to be the lawmaker voting to cut SNAP to fund a tax cut for the wealthy. We don't have to be the wealthy people who will benefit from the tax cut. We can just be the people who keep voting for politicians who will let children in this country go hungry. Like the men traveling with Saul on the road to Damascus, we have choices to make about how we will live, what we will stand for, what we will let happen. We may not have the dramatic experience of a light shining down on us and hearing Jesus call out our name. We can walk through the church parking lot night after night without anything disrupting our assumptions and our plans. But make no mistake, God is calling to us. Like Saul before us, God is calling us to the way. Amen. Heather, I know, babies in the sanctuary. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today, Heather? Heather is lifting up on this day that Hallmark calls Mother's Day, forgetting its radical roots. And she is particularly celebrating the women who are breadwinners and coach sports and the men who do crafts and kiss boo-boos. I hold this day particularly in prayer because for many, this is a day of celebration, so we honor mothers and all those who mother, and we also recognize the challenges of a day like today. For people who wanted to be mothers and weren't, for people who didn't want to be mothers and were, for people who lost their mothers in the last year, for people for whom that relationship is fraught. We hold all of that in our prayers today. Other joys. Miriam. So this is so cool. So Nicholas is getting married. Alicia. Nicholas is getting married June 6th, and his brother Oliver is officiating. They're getting married at the Wayside Inn, right? Wayside Inn? Yeah. It's going to be fabulous. We celebrate, and we are so glad that they're like, in a world such as this, what a blessing it is to commit to each other. Create a covenant together and go through this life together. Congratulations, Miriam and Keith. Yeah. Other joys this morning. Stephanie. It is a joy, Stephanie, that we have your mom, Maria, with us this morning. Welcome, Maria. We're so glad you're here. Jeff is gonna double down on that joy. Do you want to give your dad any credit for getting up in the morning? It's insane. My father right now. Your father right now? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Worry about me. I'm sorry, it wasn't about me. Okay, sorry. For those at home, so Jeff is celebrating his mother this morning. We're so glad that his parents are here, and they're here so they could watch their kids. And particularly lifting up his mom, who is a PK, a preacher's kid, and yet a functioning adult. So we celebrate that, and we hold in prayer Jeff's dad, who's working on the bylaws in his church. Doug.
so caffeinated. Doug is recognizing his role as the bearer of bad news in the congregation as he worked so hard this week on the elevator, which it's not the elevator that's in trouble, it's a panel. And Doug is lifting up the gratitude for those who helped make sure everybody could participate in worship today. So thanks to the worship team and to Randy for making sure everything could work from the vestry. There was another, Carolyn. We celebrate and remember, I'm going to get details wrong. It doesn't matter. God's got it. But we celebrate that Michelle, who grew up in this church, is celebrating her first Mother's Day. Her baby Charles was born 8 weeks early, spent weeks in the NICU. So we celebrate Michelle and Charles on this first Mother's Day. And for grandparents Barbara and Scott, who are also part of this church and are now in Vermont. Love the way the ripples go out. I'm missing one over here. Yes, Jen. So we celebrate Addie's sophisticated executive functioning at her age, the ability to stand in line at Disney with no screen in front of her. That is a joy. We got one. Okay, two. Okay, so you just gave me a bunch of info I didn't know. So Addie had a stroke? So Addie had a stroke on day 4 of life and meets with her stroke team, which I really was hoping was going to be swimming regularly, and now they've said they don't need to see her for another year. What a joy that is. Yeah, thanks, Jen. Did we get them all? Do you just need a minute to cry? Okay. We can come back to you if you need. We're so glad for the joys. I feel like I missed. I've got more. Oh, my brain just stopped. Oh my God. Nick and Shannon. Thank you. Shannon, what's your joy? Shannon is lifting up the joy of Pope Leo. Yeah, and lots of joy there, and the ways in which he may open eyes, including on the U.S. Thank you. Janet isn't here today, but she had a whole bunch of things going on in her household this past week, which have led to joys. So her daughter Kate had her wisdom teeth removed. That went well. She's recovering. Andrew broke his finger, but won't need surgery, so we're putting that in the joy category. Janet has just recovered from a short illness. She's doing better. And David, Janet's husband, kept everybody supplied with ice cream, so gratitude for him. And Janet throws out gratitude for all moms, dads, and caregivers. I have one more. Steve E. is home from the hospital, exhausted. It was a long road, but he is home, so that's good. Gail, do you have any other joys up there? Okay. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Miriam. How old is he?
He's 16.
Oh. Miriam's nephew in Chile broke his leg playing soccer, 16 years old, heading in for surgery. Thanks, Miriam. Maria, Stephanie. Your brother is in the hospital? Oh, Maria, are you? I'm going to keep calling you your mom's name. Stephanie, are you able to share his name? Ryan? Ryan with an R? We hold Ryan in our prayers, Stephanie's brother who's in the hospital. She prays for healing of mind, body, and spirit. Thank you. Jen. We continue to hold Rupert in our prayers. Three years old, going through very aggressive treatment for cancer. We are holding him and his whole family in our prayers, especially as they're all from England and feeling like this community is their family. So we hold them in prayers. Thanks, Jen. Did I miss it? Kirsten. Was it John's sister? Both? Ugh. Prayers for John and Jane D. John has had two sisters die in the last few months, so we hold all of them in our prayers. Thanks, Kirsten. Gail? Do you have any up there? Okay, I have a few more. Emily mentioned during the Word for All Ages that this is sort of on the joy concern side, that the multiple sclerosis walk is next Saturday in Concord. Alyssa, Ann, and Emily fundraise for that walk every year to honor husband and dad Ken, who's been living with MS for decades. So we hold them in prayer and gratitude for the way in which they walk. And Marge has asked us to have prayer, to have in our prayers today immigrant families, specifically whose breadwinners have been swept up in ICE raids. CASA in Framingham is just trying to raise so much money to try to help these families who have now lost so much and then trying to deal with legal issues. Did I get them? Okay. So, you know, part of why we come together is not so we have like 20 more stressors to hold, but because we know when we come together, we're able to share them together, to bring that energy into this time and place, join our hearts together, and begin the process of transforming the world. So let us bring ourselves into a time of prayer, settling our mind, body, and spirit. Our pastoral prayer this morning comes from Roddy Hamilton. Let us pray. You break in, O God, on the road. You break in, O God, into our beliefs. You break in, O God, and change everything. You break in, O God, with a call. You break in, O God, with an invitation. You break in, O God, with the truth. You break in, O God, with a new realm. You break in, O God, with a new world. You break in, O God, with your intent for the future. God, break in again and call us to be your partners. God, break in again and use the gifts we are to build your realm. God, break in again and change our world once more. Amen.
Thank you.
Pema Chodron writes, "Compassionate action involves working with ourselves as much as working with others. This morning, as we participate in the offering, may we practice compassion and challenge ourselves by picturing these gifts helping the very people we feel we do not understand, do not like, or think do not deserve our help. And so then may the world, and more important, we ourselves, be transformed."
God of abundance, bless these gifts and those who have given them, that they might see the ways in which they have already responded to your call in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 406, "Blessed Are They."
Thank you.
you may be seated. Beloved, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may you be held in God's hand. Go in peace. Amen.